Hello and welcome back to a brand new episode of the World Cup of Podcast, a podcast where we choose a category, nominate contestants, and debate each fixture to decide who is the champion of its category. In today's episode, we're going to be discussing our favourite Netflix original TV series. So we've picked eight of the best between us, and we're going to put them into a draw and vote all the way until we decide who is the champion of this particular category. Before we get underway today, I want to remind everyone to get in touch with us on social media at World Cup of Pod and our email address, worldcupofpod@gmail.com, or through our website, which is linked in the podcast description. And go ahead while you're there and leave us a little review on Apple Podcasts, because it does a lot for the podcast in a good way. Let's get underway with the first part of the old podcast, which is What's in Charlie's Loft?
What's in,
I always forget this is a thing.
What's in Charlie's memory loft?
Is it still his loft?
No.
It's worse every week. Go on, Charlie.
Before we get underway here, every single week, Charlie gets constantly interrupted on this situation. Let's just let him say his piece, and then we can criticise. Okay?
You could say that because
he starts talking, and then someone immediately jumps in. So just give him like 30 seconds to pitch, and then you can jump in. All right,
I'm timing it.
seconds.
This is why we break in, because he always bloody takes ages to say anything. Fucking hell.
Well, I guess that's 10 seconds lost to Daniel. So this is the story of my first interaction with a girl.
I'm excited.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Now everyone shuts up. I think Jordan already knows the story. So when I was a kid, me and my cousin Liam, we used to love watching Blade. As you do. Blade was a sick... He was a sick character.
I know this story.
I know this story as well.
I think it was after the second one came out, where I just went and got like sunglasses, a leather jacket, a plastic samurai sword and all that. And I thought, do you know what? I'm going to go. I lived on an estate in Crystal Palace at this point. So it was just like a bunch of, like all the kids that lived there would just come out and play like around the block. So I put on my leather jacket, my sunglasses, and got my sword ready. I put on my blue jeans, because you know Blade is infamous for having blue jeans.
Yeah.
Walked out my door.
That's not the wrong part about this.
I walked out the door, you know, kind of stood there with the sunglasses on, like, yeah, this feels right to me. This feels good. slowly walking up and down the block, kind of like scoping out for vampires. If in the middle of the day,
as you do, mate.
I think this is when like I was kind of new to the area, so there was a bunch of kids that used to play out like every day, and I was just outside my door, kind of walking backwards and forwards, you know, looking cool, until a girl came up from the group, and she was like, "Hi," and I just stood there, just stiff. And I didn't respond. I just stayed quiet.
Oh, that's right.
Because he doesn't talk.
Okay.
He doesn't,
Charlie, that's disgusting.
No.
Stiff.
Fuck, I shouldn't use that word.
You're a stiffy metal. Okay.
Oh, you're a stiff boy, eh?
Oh, Ben.
How old are you?
It was last night.
Oh, no. Didn't answer her, because obviously Blade's kind of cool and doesn't really talk much. And then she kind of stepped forward and was like, "Hello?" And I stepped back, 1 foot back, and put my hand on my sword and just stared at her. She couldn't see my eyes. And then I was just like, and then I just slowly took out the sword and just held it in my hands. And she was like, okay, I'm going to go back now. And then she ran off.
I'm going to leave now.
She ran off, and then I continued scoping out for vampires. I did eventually enter the group, but yeah, it wasn't a good first impression.
Eventually,
couple of follow up questions.
Charlie. Yeah, go for it.
Firstly, how old were you? And secondly, why did your parents let this happen?
How old was I? I think I was 7.
Isn't Blade like a 15 or something?
It's an 18.
Oh, I won't tell if you don't.
No, that's fair. Seven's fine. I genuinely thought you were like 13 or 14, and I was like, well, you're not going to make any friends with your parents that you're not like that.
No. Well, I think, I don't even know who was there. I think it was definitely a weekend, but I think this is the point where my mum, this is before she met my stepdad, so it was just her in the house. So she would just be doing house stuff, and then I would just be out front searching for vampires.
Just dressed as Blade, doing what you want.
Yeah.
I suppose the real question is, did you actually find any? Any vampires, that is?
Several.
Any girls?
Several vampires, one
girls
girl.
We know is a definite no.
Several.
Do you have a picture?
No, I don't. Actually, I haven't got any pictures of this. I haven't got any pictures of that actual...
That's going to be a Photoshop job for the Twitter for next time.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Blade 4.
Oh. If you're interested in seeing that, that will be on the at World Cup of Pod on Twitter.
There's some sort of joke behind that with, like, I don't know, vampires and gingers can't grow in the sun or something.
You're nearly there.
Oh, yeah, you're ginger, aren't you?
Oh, thanks,
I mean,
for forgetting,
gingers,
man.
Don't have souls. So
you're just hunting for yourself is what we're hearing.
Hey, let's not go that deep into it.
I can tell you he still hasn't
No,
found
actually,
himself,
you know what? That was before that day. I was blonde, so maybe I got bitten and turned ginger.
Maybe. In one day, just...
Jesus.
Your body was like, fuck it, I'm done with this. And went ginger, you know, is what you're trying to say.
Yeah, maybe.
Or maybe you turned ginger as like a side effect of being so cringe.
That's what happens when you get past... What happens when you get past the age of 21 and you're still a virgin is you go ginger.
No,
absolutely.
No.
Well, let's move on from there. Thank you for that little section there, Charlie. But let's get in to the meat and potatoes of today's episode, which is World Cup of Netflix original TV shows. First up in the tournament, we have got Daredevil versus Masters of None. Ben, we'll go to you first. Masters of None wasn't yours. Daredevil was yours. Talk to us a bit about it.
Daredevil. Well, good luck. Good luck defending your one.
Okay, look. I was quite late to the party, so I didn't know what was picked. I just assumed all... Like the top seven or so of what I thought would be there had already been picked.
Yeah.
And
so I went for one that I really personally enjoyed. It had three seasons. It had its own mini cinematic television universe thing. But the story was compelling. It was investigative. It wasn't like your typical story. It was very grounded. Mm. And I just thought it was really incredible. Incredible show. And the cinematography was amazing as well.
I never watched Daredevil. Does someone else who's seen it want to jump in?
It's absolutely amazing. Daredevil is an amazing... I also just want to go back as well. Ben was the one who suggested this category, so I don't know why he's complaining about being the last one to the party.
Because Daredevil
was genuinely brilliant. You could almost argue that Daredevil was one of the first... I know it's relatively recent, but it's sort of one of the first shows that brought Netflix to prominence.
It was
a big streaming thing, but the thing that made it even bigger was the fact that Marvel, who were at the time were obviously huge and they're still huge, they allowed Netflix to make this show and just put it on Netflix, and it was so well made. The casting was very good. And like Ben said, it out of it, you got Luke Cage, you got Iron Fist, you got Jessica Jones, and you got the Defenders. So you got several other shows, and The Punisher as well. So you got several other shows that came just from Daredevil being so good and so popular.
Now everyone's going to shout at me, but I thought the complete opposite. And Charlie knows this as well, because when it first came out, I was telling him, it was just, I couldn't get into it.
Yeah, but you thought The Lion King was shit, so you can fuck off.
Yeah, I suppose. I'm not Fair. Massively just... into superheroes, but it was just there's just some bits where it's just poor continuity for me.
Yeah, I mean it's Marvel doing it, so you usually get those kind of shit problems.
But like,
let's talk a bit about
people
let me
can
move
sneak
on,
up on him.
Let me move on to Masters of None a bit. Aaron, this was your pick. Do you want to chat it up a little bit?
Yeah, I mean I don't have to chat that much because Daredevil was fucking trash, so we've got a head start straight away.
He's got a very good point.
But Masters of None, I thought it was like a most perfect show for like our generation, but also like the older one, because it was like set in New York and it had like various characters with different personalities and backgrounds. And they all had like their own like mini stories throughout the series that you kind of like went into. It mostly revolved around Dev, but you also had like his friends and stuff. And I just thought like the whole show itself was absolutely perfect. The story, how it was portrayed, but also the comedy that was in it, like, that small little bits of comedy that were like, in a way that could happen to you in real life. Well, not real life, but you know, it could happen. It was just funny as fuck, I thought.
Yeah, so anyone that doesn't know, it's Aziz Ansari's sort of, it's not a sitcom, it's the show I'd most closely sort of associated to, which is Louis, which was on FX, which is Louis C.K.'s thing, you know, before he got done for jerking off in front of women. but it's that sort of thing where it's like it is a comedy, but it's like, I don't know, it was like more like a...
sort of satire like a little bit.
Yeah, but it was more kind of like they just wanted to make something nice. Like they wanted to make something that was really like nicely shot, nicely made, but it was also... they basically just said they wanted to use Aziz Ansari and they wanted to do something and they just made something and it ended up just being really great. And they made 3 seasons of it, did they? I think it was
2.
Only two. That's what's another thing that kind of goes in its favour is that they've kind of... It was a big hit and everyone loved it, but they've not kind of just like pumped it out and out and out. It's kind of just gone onto the back burner, which is a shame because I want more of it. But at the same time, it kind of shows the sort of prestige it was because it's a very well-made show, very funny.
I think the good thing about it though is that both seasons of Master of None were like both consistently good because they both got really good scores on like every reviewer site. And the whole like story between season 1 and season 2 was just well written, that the point where it's just consistently good as a show compared to anything else I've ever seen. Like most shows, season 1 is kind of like, okay, it's the starting season, it's kind of trash. Season 2 and season 3, okay, it gets kind of good, and season 4 just drops off. Master of None, it was just straight consistency with how good it was, I thought.
Yeah, I agree with that point. Should we get into the vote on this if no one's got any further points to add? We'll kick it off with Ben then. Who are you going to go for?
Daredevil.
Daredevil for Ben. Dan?
Daredevil.
Daredevil for Dan.
Yes,
making
come on,
it
Dan.
2. Yikes. 2-0. Simon, we'll go to you next.
Master of None.
Master of None for Simon. Aaron?
For sure.
Master of None.
Making it 2-2. We go to Charlie next. Who are you going for, Charlie? Daredevil or Master of None?
I love Master of None's randomness, but I adore Daredevil, so it's Daredevil.
Yes.
3-2. Yes.
King shit.
2, Daredevil. And you guess what, boys?
Oh, no.
I'm going to double vote Master of None. Master of
yes,
None
let's go.
Goes Oof. Through to the next round. And we move on to our next matchup, which is Middleditch and Schwartz versus Orange is the New Black.
Wow.
Simon, you bought Orange is the New... no, Master of None to the table, so why don't you chat about it a bit?
Master of None?
Schwartz.
Middleditch and Schwartz, sorry. It's a lot of M's. No, I'm not good.
Oh, no. It's just a stand-up comedy special, but with two comedians... just role-playing just weird stories.
It's weird that you didn't use the word improv.
Yeah, I was
going to
say.
Yeah. I couldn't think of the word straight away.
It's literally improv, that is the show.
I couldn't think of the word off the top of my head. Yeah, it's all improv. And I don't know, it's just funny.
Yeah, it came out recently. Has anyone here not seen it?
No, me? I've never seen it.
I think most of us...
I've heard of them.
It's very, very funny. Like, I didn't think I'd be an improv fan. Like, me and Dan were chatting about it earlier. Yeah. I didn't think I'd be a fan of improv. I'm a fan of the two guys, but I didn't know I'd be a fan necessarily of improv. But it was very, very funny. There's not really much more to say of it. And
I will just say that, so, yeah, I'm the same in that, like, I didn't think I'd enjoy it just because I don't normally laugh out loud at, like, stand-up stuff or, like, anything like that. I watched one episode and I genuinely did laugh out loud quite a lot. It was really good. I will say to put it up as like the best ever Netflix original show is straight garbage, to be honest. And I think
it's a little too soon, especially if it doesn't have a second season just yet. Like, I'm sure it's really good. But...
it is, yeah, it's good, but there's no way it's the best. Like...
yeah, no, I think to be fair, there could have even been an argument to not have it in this and use it as part of a comedy episode, but it's in here. It's a Netflix series I did, so we'll go for it. But let's put that up against Orange is the New Black. Now, I picked this as one of the extra picks. And the reason I picked it is I'm not going to sit here and pretend like this show didn't fall off a fucking cliff, because it absolutely did. Yeah. But when... so Dan said earlier about Daredevil and about that kind of like making a bit of a name for for Netflix, Orange is the New Black was like an absolute cultural phenomenon for the first 2-3 years it was out.
Yeah.
And it was massive, and it was really good as well. And that was something that, because that was the first show that was like proper like mainstream, because Daredevil, yeah, like I take your word for it, it's a good show, but it was all the fucking losers that like that show. Whereas Orange is the New Black, everyone
that's not libelous. True about Daredevil.
No, but I'm making a joke, but Orange is the New Black was a show that was like, you know, like a pop culture sensation as well.
Yeah,
it was massive when that came out.
I generally think Orange is the New Black kind of put Netflix on the limelight more than Daredevil.
I agree with you there.
Marvel fans. That was like the first Netflix. Wasn't it? Yeah.
Like one of.
It definitely one was. Of the first.
It yeah. well, wasn't one of the first, but it was one of the ones that made it kind of like.
Yeah, it was.
People wanted
it
to
was
get
a
Netflix
very, very early. Yeah. Early one for Netflix. And it was like, that's just why I think it deserves its place in there, because I watched it all the way up till the end of season 5, I think I watched till, and then I just noped out on it because I couldn't anymore, because it just got garbage. But first few seasons were really, really good, and they were genuinely gripping, and you actually cared about the characters. Did I actually finish it? I've been watching it again just to see if I actually enjoyed it or not, and I got all the way to season 7 now, and now I'm really struggling. I enjoyed season 5 more than I noped out on last time, but it's not the same show anymore. But it was very, very good for the start, and I think that's why it's at least got to be in the conversation for this tournament.
I think it would be wrong of us not to have it. I don't know how much I've actually watched of it. I think I possibly watched a whole season, maybe two.
That's the same as me. I finished the second time. I don't think I picked it up for the third.
I think what I will say is that it's clearly a good show, and I'll accept that. And it's very popular. I just don't know how memorable it is.
I disagree. At least for the first 3 seasons, I think up until the point they stopped being able to give backstories to each character, because that was some of the most best. Like,
yeah, that was the
group.
Preach it, sis. Yeah. Preach it.
I thought it was incredible, especially Red's backstory. Or is it Crazy Eyes? I can't remember her name.
Suzanne, come on, let's call her by a God-given name. Let's not be so rude.
Well, there you go, sorry. Sorry.
Crazy Eyes.
But that was amazing. It was up until they had the whole panty fucking sweatshop thing going on.
Yeah.
I was like, it's got
sorry?
A bit,
yeah.
bit shit.
I did not see this bit.
That was season 4, yeah. That was, hello? Yeah, that's when... So the first season was... So the thing that made that show so good is that they had... like a white blonde girl as the main character, and that was how they drew people in to watch the show. But then she is basically just like a Trojan horse to get you into a prison.
Yeah.
So then you started caring about all these random, you know, not traditionally good looking people that you actually learn to care about because you're just in that situation.
People of color as well, aren't it?
Yeah, there's some great, great, great moments in that show. And it's just those first 3 seasons, I know I keep saying it, but it was really, really good. And for Netflix, that was a massive, massive hit. And it was an ensemble cast as well, which I think always deserves extra props when an ensemble cast is really good, because it's so much more that could be shit about it.
I think the one thing I liked, though... Right,
should we get into a vote on it then? I think we're at a bit of a...
Aaron's saying something.
Oh, sorry, Aaron. Go ahead.
No, I just want to say, one thing I liked about Orange is the New Black is that the casting choices they made with it, especially later on, they had like a wide variety of like different people doing different roles. And I think that like one transgender character who also kind of gave the show a lot of like
well, yeah, but that was like from the very beginning.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think from the start they were good.
I just thought that was great.
And I think I don't really think this should, even though I haven't seen much of Orange is the New Black, I don't really think this is much of a competition, to be honest.
All right, well, let's get into the vote on it then. Middle Ditch and Swartz versus Orange is the New Black. We'll start with Ben.
Orange is the New Black.
That's 1 for Orange. Charlie?
Orange.
2-0. I'm going for Orange is the New Black, making it 3-0. Simon?
Orange.
4-0. Dan?
Middle Ditch versus Swartz.
Lol.
4-1. And finally, Aaron, yeah. Who are you going for, bro?
Can I get some oranges, name, please?
Was that orange?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so that goes through very comfortably, much more than I first suspected when we had this little matchup in here. But there you go. We move on to our next matchup, which is Living With Yourself versus Ozark. Charlie, you have the floor.
Oh, no, I'm against Jordan. Great. Okay.
You haven't said anything this whole podcast, man. Come on.
Well, emphasis on the original part of Netflix original TV show. Because it's an idea that I haven't seen in other shows before. I like
same with Ozark.
Yeah, drugs and money, huh?
yeah.
I mean, like
normal white Syrian.
I mean,
family.
at least the
laundering money for the cartel. Yeah,
at least the style of it is different.
In the Ozarks,
and it's different. Because it's a dark comedy. It's not like just some light comedy. And it's Paul Rudd in it as well.
Racist.
So
Jesus.
So like, if Paul Rudd's in it, you think, oh, it's going to be some easy watch sort of thing, which it kind of is. But
yeah, like Jason Bateman in a TV drama. Yeah, like, agreed.
What's the plot? I just know who's in it so far.
Because I'm trying to say, but Jordan keeps interrupting.
Yeah, he is trying to say it. Come on.
Do you want me to say it?
No, I'm going to say it. God almighty,
right,
you
Jordan,
lot are the
give
worst.
Him 30 seconds.
All right, so Paul Rudd is...
Man who burned out on
Shut
the life.
Shut the fuck
set.
Up!
Oh my God.
Jesus Christ, you lot are awful. All right, so Paul Rudd undergoes treatment at a spa because he hates life and is struggling, and he wants to be a better person, which is what the spa says is going to do. And then when he wakes up, it turns out that he's actually been replaced by a better version of himself back at home. So
shit,
you can tell.
Okay, that's kind of intriguing.
Yeah, so it's like
Spar.
Yeah.
Wait, do you mean Spar as in like the gas station?
What? I think he means like
how English
spa
are you?
As in like, you know, sauna.
Oh, spa. Oh shit. Okay.
If I say Paul Rudd, it's going to be American, isn't it? I mean,
I'm sorry, but like that's
like that's basic, right?
I don't know who Paul Rudd is.
Yeah, so.
Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd.
Karen.
Oh my God. Yeah, so it's just the weirdness mixed with some real gloominess about it just makes it a really interesting watch.
It sounds like an intriguing show, and it is on my list to watch.
And if you don't vote for it, you hate Paul Rudd, and that is a sin against humanity.
Fine. So. Fine with me.
I'll take that. Yeah, I'll take that.
That's a weird angle to go at. I was going to vote for you, but that's
no.
All right, I'll do a little bit of chat about Ozark. I won't bore you for as long as Charlie did, but I watched Ozarks from when it first came out. It's now just finished its third season, and I believe I've roped Dan and Simon both into watching it, so it'd be good to gauge their opinions of it afterwards. I'm a massive fan of it. It's a show essentially about a family that has to move to the Ozarks and launder money for the cartel. But the thing that makes that show so great is that the bad guys in it and all of the people that are supposed to be the scary, like cartel and the drug people, they are genuinely terrifying because the way they do the show is just there's like when there's like repercussions for the people's actions, they're like no holds barred. They're just fucking straight off the top, just like savage things that they do. And it just makes it a really gripping show because you're like very scared of the bad guys. I just realised Dan took his headphones off when I did that. I didn't spoil anything there.
No, I know. I just didn't know.
But I will preface, actually, we're going to try and avoid spoilers in this. If you are sensitive to it, then maybe this isn't the episode for you, but we're going to tread lightly around them. But all I just say is that the bad people, when they do bad shit, it's really bad. And it makes it just so much more scary because you know how bad things are when you fuck with the wrong people, as it were.
There's something about... firstly, yeah, I've watched probably 5 or 6 episodes now. I'm watching a few weeks, actually. It is very good. It's clearly a very good show. Jason Bateman is an interesting choice as an actor, and it works really well. And the one thing that I will say so far that I've noticed is that you find with a lot of these shows when the protagonist is doing what they're doing, they never seem very normal. They always seem like they are kind of heroic in a way. But there's something about Jason Bateman's character and his family that they do genuinely seem really normal. And I think that's the thing about it, is that he's obviously a very intelligent guy, but his character comes across as like actually quite normal, and I think it's quite refreshing.
A big thing for me as well is in a lot of shows when you've got kid actors or you know, people that might not be children, but you know, they're playing children, they can be so annoying. It happens in so many times. Very few shows get it right. Ones that do or did was Game of Thrones. And this, and there's only two in this compared to Game of Thrones, where there's loads. But they absolutely nailed them on the casting, because they are like really good and they're not annoying. And that's the biggest, quite often can turn you off a lot of shows, is if the kid actors in it fucking annoying. And they do that well, which goes in its favour. Let's get into the vote. I think we've set our pieces on that. We'll start with Charlie. Who are you going for?
Double vote, Living With Yourself.
Okay, that's two for Living With Yourself. Sir Simon.
Ozark.
One for Ozark. Ben.
Ozark.
Dick.
Ozark for Simon, making it 2-2, and Charlie starts to swear. Aaron, we'll go to you next. Who are you going for?
You know, I'm going to help Charlie out, Living With Yourself.
Living With Yourself, making it 3-2. We'll go to Dan.
I was actually going to give Charlie a sympathy vote. But if I do, then it'll win, so I can't do that. Ozark
for Dan, making it 3-3. And Simon, you've got the deciding vote. Who's going into the semi-finals?
I've already voted.
I'm pretty sure it's you, Jordan, mate.
Yeah, is it me?
Wow. Well, that is something else.
The look
the tension
on Simon's face, though,
is building up.
Simon's like, oh.
You're right.
Well, I was just so sure on what my vote would be that I assumed I'd already done it. I'm going for Ozark. Living With Yourself can fuck off. And there you have it. We have Ozark into the next round. Finally, we've got one last match, and I've just realised what it is, and I've realised that one of them hasn't got a fucking hope in hell. We've got BoJack Horseman versus Stranger Things.
Okay, wait. I need to know which one you say is not going to live in hell, whatever it was.
I need you to tell me what you're thinking, Aaron, instead.
I'm thinking Stranger Things won this already.
Yeah. There's no argument.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I was arguing at that point.
Okay, all right. I picked Stranger Things. And the thing is, you guys all have the exact same like taste in TV and taste in like sense of humor and stuff. So I thought BoJack Horseman was going to be one that you all loved. But Stranger Things is an amazing show. I think if we all know our vote, let's just move on then.
I think the problem I have with BoJack Horseman is that even though it's a comedy, it's meant to be funny, I just find the main character's hard to like. I know how they made him like that. You can't like him because he's a shitty-ass person, but that's the thing that kind of puts me off like TV shows, when you can't like the main character. You just kind of hate what they do because they do stupid shit.
Yeah, and that's when the comedy isn't funny, that's always a big thing for me as well.
I do think we've messed up a little bit. Two of our picks here were ones that have just recently come out that haven't. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can't say they're the best if they're that new. And like, BoJack would have done a lot better against maybe Masters of None. Like, there would have been a match. No, probably not. But do you know what I mean?
Absolutely,
like,
disagree.
Excuse me.
Living With Yourself.
I think that's like one of the worst.
Tom Middleditch.
That's worse
thing.
Than Daredevil.
But yeah, basically what you're saying is Charlie and Simon have picked shit shows, and they should.
they picked.
Well, you guys
bad.
Haven't seen it, so yeah. Yeah, you watch it, you'll like it. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's
the
point. Is that
you can't say it's the
best. We're not going to vote for it, are we? You nonce. I think I'll quickly just defend BoJack Horseman because it is very funny. But what I will say against it is there's a lot of shows like it, you know, adult animated comedies.
Funky cartoon sort of thing. Yeah.
What, with the protagonist is a cartoon like horse? Is there a lot of those shows out there?
Yeah. Yeah, I can name 7, actually. So Stranger Things is just fucking sick, isn't it? I know. Yeah, we'll get more into Stranger Things, I think, in the next round, but we'll get into the vote. Charlie, we can start with you.
BoJack.
You dick. BoJack for Charlie, making it 1-0 to BoJack. Simon.
Stranger Things.
1-1. Aaron.
Stranger Things.
2-1. I'm going for Stranger Things, and I've remembered it was me. So that makes it 3-1. Dan.
Stranger Things.
4-1. And finally, Ben, who are you going for?
Stranger Things.
It is for Stranger Ben, Things. And we have a 5-1, and we have all of our semi-finalists. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back after this.
I'm still mad at you, Charlie, that you didn't fight for Daredevil like at all. This is like something you could have really spoken about. You've rewatched like so many fucking times.
I voted for it, and you didn't vote for mine, so go fuck yourself.
He did vote for it.
Wow, he was waiting on that, Ben.
Yep.
Wait, Ben, why is that so small? What is that?
It's a notepad. What is that?
Gross,
why is
man?
A fucking notepad.
I have so few ideas.
No, I use this for my Come Dine With Me on Saturday. We did like an Italian theme, and it doesn't matter.
You had a
holy shit, you and your housemate.
I really want to know why the notebook was vital.
Why has he left?
Why is Charlie calling
his fucking dad?
I was literally going to use that as my comeback into the thing because you said, why is that so small? And then he's left.
We could use that. We could just come back now, actually.
Charlie, well, while he's gone. Okay, right. Well, fuck Charlie. We're back. Hi, everybody. We are back for the podcast. Just as we're literally about to kick this off, Charlie left the room, but here we are. It's been fairly comfortable so far. There's been a couple of closer ones, but really and truthfully, I think we're set up well for a good semi-final. Before we get into all of that, let's go to Dan, who's got a bit of World Cup of answers for us.
Hello. Let's go straight to the questions. Ben, think of a name.
Fucking Walter White.
Fucking Walter White says, and this is actually relatively topical with what we've been talking about today. What is an appropriate amount of time before giving away spoilers? And this, I will just say with this as well, is it
1 month?
It's kind of difficult when you watch American TV shows and you're quite active on Twitter, because it does almost immediately get ruined on said social media. Simon, what are you thinking?
I don't know, about a year.
A year? Wow, okay.
Yeah. If it's something that you really wanted to watch or you really cared about, you would find time to watch it in the year.
Yeah, completely agree. Completely.
Same with films. Like, if you wanted to see it, you would have seen it within a year. Goes for anything.
I almost find with spoilers on things that being scared of being spoiled ruins something more than if I was just to have been spoiled by it, if that makes sense. Because you become... I remember it with Game of Thrones, Walking especially. Walking Dead.
Well.
I think I had one big one with Walking Dead, I think. But it was more of the fear of it being spoiled that ruined it for me. Like, spoilers can definitely ruin a show, but I think sometimes, like, with more shows I watch now, I'm not that fussed because it's not as much about what the thing is, it's the journey of getting there.
So friends we make along
with
the way.
With a lot of things. Yeah, it's about the friends we make along the way. And so, like, spoilers are just more of a problem when you're worried about being spoiled, I think. But then I do agree with Simon, I think a year. If you wanted to watch it that badly, you'd have watched it in that time, and after that, it's on you.
I'm not going to lie.
I think a lot of people overreact over fucking spoilers. Like, I think at most you got a week before. If it gets spoiled, that's your own fucking problem. If you're using social media and you didn't want to get spoiled, that's your own fucking problem. Like,
yeah,
you got a week for a new episode to come out.
Yeah, I'll throw it to you, Chad, in a second. I kind of agree with that in the sense that, yeah, nowadays it's going to get spoiled if you go on social media. So when Game of Thrones was released in America, I think it was a Sunday night, and then here it was Monday night. We got it. I basically waited like 3 years before I watched Game of Thrones. It was all spoiled before I started, and I was kind of fine with it because I sort of admit to myself, if I wanted to watch it, I would have watched it. It's like with you know, a lot of like famous old films that are, you know, universally known to be brilliant. If I know what happens in it, that's on me because I should have watched it. And yeah, I think partly agreeing that, like, if you do want to avoid it, especially for a day, if it's a day, just don't go on Twitter or just mute words that you know will spoil it. I actually have a story on that.
I realized I had from Game of Thrones season 8, I'd muted words on Twitter, and one of the things I'd muted was GOT, but obviously I'd muted GOT, and so you don't notice it on your own timeline, but if you click on like someone's tweet and you look at the replies and it's like, this tweet contains sensitive information, do you want to view it? And I'd be like, click on it, and it was just like a really like normal message, but I was like, why is that muted for me? And then I realized, like, not even that long ago, that I had GOT muted on Twitter. So there you go.
that is so, yeah, but that's a good example of, you can mute words. Yeah, Charlie, go on.
Yeah, there's one massive thing that annoys me about Netflix. It's like good and bad. So the good thing is they put all the stuff on there, you can watch it all in one go if you want to, sort of thing.
Are you gonna say they're thumbnails?
No. I was going to say, and this
that spoiled the show for me last week.
The annoying thing about it is that, like with Stranger Things, it's an amazing show. I love season 1 and 2. Like, I really like them. And season 3 came out and it was all out. And because it's so loved, everybody watched it and then talked about it literally a day later.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't want to watch it in a day. I don't want to be forced to watch a show because I don't want to see the spoilers. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm being forced to watch Stranger Things just because people are going to be talking about it the next day. And it's like, I just don't want to binge it like that. It just ruins it for me.
That's a good point with everything being released at the same time, is that it does lead to everyone watching it immediately and then everyone talking about it immediately.
I definitely think that's like in terms of TV, everything should be available straight away, because when I watch a show and it's a week by week thing, I'm like, oh my god, this is like forever. And like, I just think it makes the TV watching experience a lot better. And a lot of shows, a show that you might have liked, you will more likely like it more or even love it if you watch it binge. Like, I remember when, I go back to Breaking Bad, but when Breaking Bad was on and you watched it every week or whatever it was, I obviously loved it. But then when I've been able to binge it and just smash through like 5 episodes in a day, I just like it even more because you can just watch it at your own pace.
I think the nice thing about binging is that you don't have that long week break where you have to think, oh, what may happen, this, and that. When you binge it, you can literally go from one cliffhanger to the next and just...
And there is perks to
enjoy
that.
Enjoy it as a movie.
To the waiting a week. Like when you, like on a cliffhanger or something, and you got a week to wait for it. There is benefits to that. But since we've moved on from that and we've been able to get it every week, I think that that suspense is like so... fabricated in a way. You don't need it, because the show should be good enough on its own to give you that without needing you to, like, these shows aren't made or shouldn't be made with thinking, oh, he has to wait a week to see this in mind. That's not television, that's just media,
which is literally how Game of Thrones survived on like the last 2 seasons. I do agree that it's good to have them all available to watch, because it does make you I feel like it does make you like the show more if you're like, fuck, I remember that show, that was so good, I watched it all in a day. Obviously that has caused a lot of late nights and lack of sleep. I will just say that there's a new show called, I mentioned it earlier, it's called The King. It's a South Korean show, and I've been watching it with one of my mates, and it's on Netflix, and it is one of the shows that's released. It's released 2 episodes at a time every Friday, and it's given me like a new appreciation of shows that are released weekly, because it makes you look forward to watching them, because you know you've got them still coming up. I think there's something slightly more social when they're released like weekly.
Yeah, you build an event around it with Breaking Bad. Me, Jordan, Simon used to go to the pub weekly. Game of Thrones,
Walking Dead. Those were some great times when we used to do that. We used to watch Game of Thrones and then go in pub. Breaking Bad, we go to the pub and have a debrief after. It was great.
I think for social,
One other thing I say against it though is maybe it's partly because I'm not watching it with someone else as well, but with Better Call Saul, I found this season when an episode comes out, I want to delay it. It's really weird psychology to it, but I want to delay it so I have to wait less time for the next one, but then I end up delaying. So I'm still watching it like a week at a time, but I'm just delaying. It's like knowing it's there for me to be able to watch.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
I think there's a certain amount of self control that you need to do that. Charlie, have you got a final point on this? Yeah, maybe.
No.
All right. Tidy.
Jesus Christ, man. So don't forget, you can get in contact with us on our social media at World Cup of Pod. An email address is worldcupofpod@gmail.com, which is also linked in the description through the website. Thanks. Back to you, John.
Thank you, Dan. Right, let's get back down to business here. I think we've got a very strong semi-final matchup here. In a lot of tournaments, we find that we get some tough matchups to start off with, and then we have like more of a simple rounds of final, and then we sometimes end up with odd finalists. But I think this is about as strong as it gets. And to be fair, I don't think Netflix is blessed with that many amazing original TV shows, and there are some we've missed off this list. But this is strong, I think. So let's go to our first one, which is Masters of None versus Orange is the New Black. Who wants to jump in here?
Well, so like I there is a love for Orange of the New.
It's all right. We know.
But it really did tail off into just some of the hardest watch
series.
Then
it didn't tail off, it nosedived.
It jumped off a cliff
after season four.
And then Masters of None. I must admit, I can't really... I remember watching the first season, and I think I'm waiting for a story to pop up. But anyway, I did watch the second season as well.
No, that's fine.
And there was that quality there. It did feel a lot like a drama, and it was very just like a real, like based in reality a little bit. Mm. So I kind of have mixed feelings, but it is quality over quantity kind of.
I was just going to say, I have a quick question. It's sort of based around Orange and New Black. Is when it comes to TV shows, do you remember them for them at their prime, or do you remember them for them as a whole? Because, you know, something like Lost as well. I used to love Lost, but the first three seasons maybe are really good.
For me, as a whole, I think a show can have an unsatisfactory ending, like say Game of Thrones, but I don't think of that show negatively because it had such a strong catalogue going back. But if a show gets bad enough that I can't watch it anymore, I mean, that usually is what happens. It happened with Orange and New Black. It happened with like Homeland was a good example of that. Well, I loved that show, but it just got bad, and I just ended up just like completely noping out on it. And I think a lot of shows, you for me, it's quite simple. If it's not good anymore, I'll just stop watching it. But it's got to be as a whole, because the highs aren't worth it if the end result is shit.
That's what it is for me. Whereas Master of None, like Aaron was saying, it's just consistent. It's just good the whole way from start to finish. I know it's short,
but it's only had two. Yeah,
it's consistent.
Yeah, it's only short, but it's done what it needs to do.
Yeah, it's
Orange is the New Black, like they say, it tailed off, took a nosedive. I didn't get that far. It started tailing off, and I just got to the point where I'm not enjoying it.
I think,
and
it
ruined the rest of it for me. I don't want to re-watch it. I don't want to try it again, because I just know it gets bad.
Yeah, I have no interest in rewatching it.
No, I
think this is an example of knowing when to stop a show. You know, Masters of None's done that. Breaking Bad, I can't remember the chap's name that directed it, but he wanted 5 seasons. Stranger Things has already said that this is their full season, is their last one.
They
know this is what they're gonna have, and they're gonna bring quality with it. Whereas Orange is the New Black and things like Walking Dead, they've tailed
off into the ground,
so now that they've just run out of ideas.
Yeah, I think the problem with that kind of those kind of TV shows, because it was often happening a lot in the past where they didn't have an idea of how long they wanted the show to run for. So like their first maybe 1 to 4 seasons are fucking spectacular, but then after that they still carry it on because it's making money for them or something like that, and they just want to keep going. So they keep doing it, keep doing it, and then they realize, and then they realize that by season 8, it's like, well, this is going to shit. It's no side.
You can normally tell with a show the exact point where they start making shit up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Game of Thrones, when they caught up with the books.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's good enough chat on that. It's an interesting debate, this one, because they're two shows on totally different trajectories. But let's get into the vote. Masters of None or Orange is the New Black. Ben, what are you going for?
Masters of None.
Masters of None it is for Ben. Charlie, what are you going for?
Masters of None.
2-0. Dan?
I think I watched one episode of Masters of None, so I'm going to have to go Orange is the New Black.
Making it 2-1. We'll go to Simon next.
Master of None.
3-1 to Master of None. Aaron?
I'm going to use my double vote here on Master of None.
Okay, 2 votes for Master of None, and I'm also going to go for Master of None, making it 6-1. So shout out to Aaron for an utter waste of a vote. But there you go. There it is. Masters of None is through to the final. We got one more matchup in this semi-final. We've got Ozark versus Stranger Things. We didn't talk much about Stranger Things in the first round because it was such a clear winner. I got a feeling it's going to be a winner again. But I think we need to talk it up a bit. Ben, you look like you're either going to shit yourself or you're dying to say something.
I don't know. Ozark did something for me where it was a couple of years after, but it filled a void of Breaking Bad, and it has really compelling characters, and it's only gotten better That was the same year as things like The Sinner and stuff like that came out. It was just a really good year for Netflix. But Ozark was just incredible. Like, they started their characters in like the worst way. Like, Jason Bateman was being cheated on, and then they got forced to. It was amazing. And then you got Stranger Things, that is just, oh, it's just a behemoth of a show.
Yeah. You talk about consistency. I think Stranger Things has been absolutely brilliant for 3 seasons. And you also talk about child actors as well.
I wouldn't go that far.
I absolutely loved the 3rd season.
No, I did too, but my issue was before that. It was so the thing that makes Stranger Things so great is the characters and the era and the way they do the era. It's just so, it just feels so, it's almost like nostalgia for people that even weren't in that era like us. It's so great in that way. But there's a lot in that 1st season which just felt like padding to get to the point. And then the second, there's just a lot of times in that show, as much as I love it, where I'm just like, all right, let's get to the next bit. That's just my sort of criticism.
I don't know about that.
It's not perfect. It's a great show. It's not perfect.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on the season 1 point and season 2, because season 1, even though I do agree, I literally smashed that show out in one sitting. Like, I watched it from 10 o'clock in the evening thinking, what the fuck is this? Fucking 4 a.m. I finished the whole thing. Like, it was really good. But there was a lot of points where they really tried to stall out you seeing the monster, but also find what happens to Will. So there's a lot of padding going on. Eventually, like the last 3 episodes, it actually kicked up, and it was like, you saw the monster, you saw the underworld, and you saw where Will was, and that's when like got really fucking good. Season 2, yeah. I thought was a really, it was good, but it was like the most awkward season they've had so far. Like,
the story itself was massively keen on that one.
Yeah, like, I like the new characters they added, the Billy guy, he was pretty cool, but it just felt really awkward to watch compared to like season 3, where it kicked right back up to what you want Stranger Things to be.
So Charlie, really, I want you to jump in here.
I prefer it's comedies and weirdness beats drama for me every time. Just because I like with the weird stuff, I like stuff that's like original, made up, kind of freaky, and then with comedy, it's just more lighthearted and just easier to watch than dramas. So every time, for me, it's going to be that over. I mean, Ozark, I probably will watch it and I'll probably love it. But with dramas, I watch maybe 2 a year, maybe. But with comedies, I've watched like fucking 10.
You see, I'm the opposite of you. I'm much prefer the stuff that's more real to me.
So
like in TV and films and stuff, it doesn't matter. It doesn't make a difference. But in series, I like stuff that is like could happen. It wouldn't surprise me if it does happen, say. But I've watched 1 series of both of these. I've not gone further than the 1st series. And like you were saying about the padding in Stranger Things, you know, like just plot points that carry it along. I didn't feel like it had that with Ozark. It didn't feel like there was just stuff happening for the sake of it. Like everything that he did, there was a reaction that you just couldn't see coming. Neither did he. He's just there trying to do a job.
I think that I'd say against that point, as much as I'm a big fan of Ozark, the reason why like a show like Stranger Things can kind of get away with having more indulgent things, because Ozark is about literally getting from point to point in the story because they've got a story that they're telling. Whereas Stranger Things, you can afford to have a lot more character-driven moments that otherwise no one would be interested in, because everyone loves the character so much, you can have those moments. That's what's the beauty of that show, is it has characters that are so lovable that you can indulge in those characters just being them, you know, for 5-10 minutes of a show just because you love them.
But I will just say, I think with the 1st season, I think it's more about it finding its feet a little bit more. I think the 1st season they tried to be a little bit too suspenseful,
definitely.
That then led to stuff dragging on and you know building up to the end. I think after the 1st season they decided to go slightly more fun, and I think that worked a bit more for Stranger Things rather than
a little bit more adult as well, which was good.
Yeah,
I totally agree, because you are right. Like season 1 is fucking suspenseful and it's quite tense. Season two, it kind of like lightens up. In season three, it's like it lightens up so much. It's so different compared to season one that if you watch season one
was borderline horror. Like it was sort of that angle, wasn't it?
Definitely.
And I think that's why it sort of dragged on. I will just say that I think it's Billy, isn't it? I think Billy in season three is fucking amazing. I love that character.
I think he's so handsome, really happy that they made him so handsome.
There's one scene that I genuinely think is incredible with him. Like, I can't say. There's one scene that I fucking love. It is so good. And like, it's such good acting that I was so moved by it. It was amazing. But yeah, I just think Stranger Things is incredible.
I have to shit on Stranger Things some more. But my other little criticism is the whole show is like, yeah, the kids can do all the stuff they're trying to do, but at the end of the day, they're just waiting for 11 to save the day.
Yeah, that's so funny.
And the beauty of season three is this isn't really a spoiler, but it's not all about her just coming in and fucking having a nosebleed and saving the day which was a good like adaptation to it. It's a very good show. I think it's a very good matchup, these two. I think on... Oh, God damn. Ben, sorry.
Sorry, I was just thinking, out of curiosity, if Stranger Things was set in present day, would you be more interested in it? Or do you think the sense of nostalgia and the 80s and like the Goonies and stuff like that is a thing that's a big selling point for the
massively.
Show? I think the nostalgia helps, especially in season one, because they did it about Dungeons and Dragons. Yeah. That was like the main thing, how they revolved it. And that helps a lot, because back then it was played a lot. And I just thought that was fucking perfect to watch and see the kids play the game, and then at the end they actually put their plan into work.
You got to also think, you know, when you've got the main cast all being children, you'd think that would naturally more appeal to people of our age and younger. But because it was set in the 80s, everyone that's older than us is just falling in love with the nostalgia because they, from everything I can't relate because I wasn't born in the 80s. People that watch it are just like, it just absolutely nails every single part of just what life was like as a kid back in the 80s. So it's very clever in that way, and that's how you get adults to watch shows based around children.
I've only watched like five episodes of Ozark, but I can tell already that once I've finished Ozark, I don't think I'll rewatch it. Even if it's brilliant, I don't think I'll rewatch it. Whereas Stranger Things, I could quite happily rewatch all of it again. And I think it's got a higher rewatchability than Ozark.
I've rewatched both. And I think, yeah, I think it's definitely personal preference, for sure. Because I think Ozark I'd agree Stranger Things is certainly a more rewatchable show. Because it's just, there's a lot more lightheartedness about it, which is a big point towards it. I think we should get into the vote. Because we've exhausted. It's been a very good discussion. A reminder that Ben, Simon, Dan, and Aaron all have double votes remaining. And Aaron, obviously, this is the last time. Well, I'm going to cross that one off then. Aaron doesn't have one. So it's the BSD. Ben, Simon, and Dan all have double votes left. So use them up now. Otherwise, they will be gone forever. I'm going to kick off the vote with Charlie. You're going for Stranger Things or Ozark?
Stranger.
Stranger Things for him. Simon.
Double Ozark.
Wow, double vote for Ozark. Ben.
Double Ozark.
No!
Oh my word.
You're picking the wrong one,
four,
man.
One, good boy, two, Ben. Ozark. Aaron.
Stranger Danger.
Stranger Things for Aaron. So, Dan, I'm going to go to you next. I'm going to save myself for last. Dan, obviously, you've got a double vote left.
Double vote Stranger Things.
Double vote Stranger Things, yeah? So, we have a 4-4, and I have got the deciding vote. This is fucking tricky, because you all know how much I love Ozark.
Yeah.
Oh. But at the same time...
Don't say anything, Charlie. Just let him...
No, go on. I'd like that.
But the thing is, like... When did you start watching Ozark?
Last year, maybe.
Okay, I was just trying to think, like, maybe because you're watching the new season, whatever, it's like kind of, you're just loving it more because it's fresh, so recent.
Fresh in your mind a little bit.
Do you know what I mean?
But also, you have to remember, like, some of the bad episodes that Stranger Things had. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I think for 11 Ozark.
That's a bad tactic, Ben. That is a bad tactic.
Yeah, that's not going to work on me.
I'm not having that.
I'm not as weak spined as Charlie is.
Excuse you.
It's tricky.
He's got a point there. Come on.
Shut your fucking mouth, Simon.
Do you know what I'm going to do? I think Ozark is a better show for me because of my personal preferences. But in terms of what is the best Netflix show, Stranger Things is better. I'm going for Stranger Things. So Stranger Things is in the final.
Yes.
On that controversial note, we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back after this.
Yes, my king.
Man.
Hey, it's the only Aaron of the podcast. If you like what you see over here at the World Cup of Pod, then please could you take 30 seconds out of your life to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, as it helps a lot for the podcast to grow.
And we are back for the final time on the World Cup of Netflix original TV shows. It's been a gripping tournament in the sense that there's been a lot of good debate, there's been a lot of close calls, and a lot of it has come down to personal preference.
Been quite civil as well, actually.
Yeah, it's been disappointing.
Magnanimous.
There's not been enough scratching and, you know, pinching.
It's because we're very
sort of
civil gentlemen when it comes to TV and films. Or maybe not films, but when it comes to TV, we're
TV.
Very civilized.
I think it's because we're more knowledgeable about it.
I think it's because we're older as well. We've grown up. Ben's got grey hair.
Like
and he's
Winnie the Pooh with the monocle and all that sort of shit. Yeah, it's been a good one. A reminder to everyone that our finalists are Masters of None and Stranger Things. Two very different shows.
I'm going to get very pissed off at this, I can tell.
Go on, Dan, you can jump in first. What are you thinking?
Well, firstly, I've watched one episode of Master of None, so I can't really say much about it, to be honest. I just think Stranger Things is a sensational show, and I think it deserves to win. And I think, it's quite difficult because you guys all have the same taste in TVs and stuff, TV shows and stuff. So you guys all like that show, but I don't know. Stranger Things is just so good to me. It's so good.
I did have a point about Master of None that I feel is relevant to bring up because it's not. I don't necessarily watch. I watch Master of None and it's funny, but I watch it because I enjoy the show. I don't just watch it because it's a funny show. Like the comedy is a part of it, but it's not a, like an LOL comedy. The thing that I relate it to is, you know, the film Chef.
Yeah.
You know, they made that film basically because he just wanted to learn to cook, and it was like a passion project.
Yeah.
With Masters of None, it's like it's the exact same sort of concept where they just wanted to make something. And they made it like season two. They're in Italy, and like Aziz Ansari is just speaking Italian a lot, and you know they're just going around and just like wine and cheese tasting in Italy. Maybe Sorrento, not sure.
Allora.
But I wouldn't know. Like, I've never been.
It's very like a very indulgent show in a really good way, and you're just watching it, and you're just like you can just enjoy it because there's no like that is. It's just such a good show, and it goes beyond just being a comedy. Yeah. Even though it's an Aziz Ansari thing, it goes beyond it because it's really well made, and the story in it is just really you're invested in it. You're really invested in it.
Yeah,
it's just so rare in comedy.
I totally agree with that because like it really does feel like it's Aziz Ansari, and you also got other guy Alan Yang. It's like they're the all passion project, and you could tell by the writing itself throughout the whole show. It's like they put a lot of thought into it, and they really wrote it so well that you can see the passion that went into it, especially when Aziz Ansari brings his own parents onto their own show. They didn't act at all, but like they tried, and they killed it. Like, they did a really good job for no acting skills. And I just thought, just watching that, it felt nice to watch a show that had a lot of passion that went into it, and we could see that on the screen compared to other shows where they say they had the passion, but it kind of isn't that visible, if you know what I mean? Because sometimes it's just it kind of gets killed off because of other shit. But that show, you just see all the passion going into the show itself.
Especially Charlie, you said in an earlier round, I think it was about Stranger Things. Actually, you'd always go more towards the humorous sort of side of things more than the serious drama. Obviously, that was in relation to Stranger Things. Masters of None is even further on that scale of the comedy side of things. Yeah. Where are you sitting on this fence?
I'm dead set on March of None, to be completely honest.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. After,
really?
Yeah. The thing, right, after season one of March of None, I wait for season two, banged out season two, finished season two of Stranger Things. Season three came out. I didn't bother I just didn't care. And the thing is, the thing with Master of None.
Yeah, but you have a weird thing with TV shows and films.
I have the same point as Charlie. Like, I watched season one of both of them when they first came out, but when season two of Strange Things came out, I just wasn't interested. But when season two of this one came out, I waited for that. It was something I looked forward to coming out.
No, I get that. I get that. I do. And I just want to say that, like, I kind of, the way that you guys are describing it, it sounds like my relationship with The Good Place, in that The Good Place I didn't necessarily think was hilarious, but it was just such like a nice show to watch, and it was so easy to watch.
Sorry, no, that's, it's not the same, because
no, I'm not. No, I'm not saying it's the same show. I'm saying my relationship with that show is the same. No, you didn't let me just cut me off halfway because you don't like the show. Because you don't like the show, you just cut me off. Nah, that's irrelevant.
You're saying it as something that's easy to watch, which is the point you're making, though. Which is what you said.
I'm saying it's a show that I like and it's nice to watch.
Nice to watch. That's the point I'm making, but that's not the point I'm saying about Masters of None, because Masters of None is nice to watch, but that's not the thing that makes the show great. Good Place might be nice to watch, but there's a lot of other sitcoms that are also just nice to watch. So I can just sit and watch. They've like just added Modern Family,
yeah,
things like that.
But I wasn't talking about your opinion. I was talking about my opinion.
Well, I was just going to talk about how Stranger Things was really nice to watch. I'm kind of conflicted. I've rewatched Stranger Things. I think it's the difference here, and I'm having to read up on Masters of None again to kind of remember what it was, because I remember enjoying it. I remember the opening to season two, the whole Italian theme, but it wasn't as memorable for me as it was possibly for you guys. Whereas Stranger Things definitely hits that nostalgic spot that definitely, I think, champions it over Masters of None. Masters of None feels, although it's very good, feels very niche, kind of like Louis and that kind of, you know, it's based on that kind
that's
of
a good point.
Realistic drama kind of thing. Whereas
could you say both of these shows could be argued they both have a bit of a cult following, even though Stranger Things is massively popular? There's like a culty sort of following to it. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would totally agree. Like, especially with our age group and a little bit older, like Master of None was something a lot of people like and like a little bit of a cult following. But Stranger Things has like the biggest cult following because like it's fucking accessible to everyone and everyone loves it and it's got enjoyable like show itself. So it's definitely got a cult following, but just different groups per se, I think.
I have another point, but I don't know if it'll be relevant. With a lot of shows, they tend to like shoehorn in like issues about sexuality and race and stuff like that. And there is stuff like that in Masters of None, but it doesn't feel like it's just put there just to, you know, just to be filler. It actually is a plot from the beginning throughout the whole thing. It's not just like a subplot.
Yeah,
you know, that, with all the characters, like they all have their own personalities, their own stories. But with a lot of things, like in Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I know it's a completely different type of show, but they just throw in an episode and then the next episode it's all forgotten. Whereas this show, it is a common theme throughout the whole thing, which I quite enjoy. It's not just there.
I think Brooklyn Nine-Nine is a bad example of that. I agree. But like obviously, like Stranger Things, you know, they kind of shoehorned in the fact that. I can't really talk about that, can I?
Yes, you can.
Can I? It's been a year.
If you're fucking scared of it,
the girl that admits that she's a lesbian or she likes girls? Do you know what I mean? That was just like it was a nice moment, and then it was completely forgotten about.
Wait, what? Did I miss that episode?
Well, there you have it. It happened, and it was completely forgotten about.
Shit,
I think you have. I don't remember anyone saying that.
Yeah, it's what's her face?
What, Max?
No.
Ethan Hawke's daughter. I can't remember.
My bad. Yeah.
Oh, you see, well, that just serves my point even more. It sounds like it's just put
in there. Shows you how forgettable it is.
Something.
Whereas, Masters of None. What was Aziz Ansari's best friend? She's like the black lesbian.
Oh, Denise.
I can't remember her name.
Yeah, Denise.
a Denise. That came off like completely natural, and then they deal with like senior citizens, immigrants, all that kind of stuff. And also really bad sexual situations you get yourselves in, like a broken condom and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, it's all, just, it's all things that it doesn't feel forced or to be there just to be, just fucking, you know, like politically correct. It's just well done. And you don't get that with a lot of shows.
Yeah,
which
I mean,
is what really pushes
it for me. I just want to say that, like, with Ben's point, Robin's, like, sexuality, that just came out of, well, I won't say out of nowhere, but it kind of came in. They said that piece, and then they did nothing with it. And it was literally at the right end of the whole show as well. So, like, that's how forgettable it was.
I actually kind of disagree a bit, just because the fact that a lot of that season, everyone was kind of put in her with what's his face with the hair together.
Yeah.
Steve. They were trying to push that as a thing, and there was like a bit flirty and stuff. And then at the end, she's like, "Actually, no, I'm gay." So it was like it was shoehorned in or anything. You
yeah,
know,
I don't. I don't think it was. Yeah.
And as well, you can also say with a show that popular, they could have quite easily gone a lot further down that route. Like I've criticized like Brooklyn Nine-Nine and shows like that before, where they just kind of shoehorn these fucking culturally sensitive things into the show just to appease some kind of weird, you know, Twitter fandom. But Stranger Things has never done that. Apart from maybe that moment, but I'd argue that's not really the same sort of thing. It's just,
I think that's on you for expecting her to be with him, really.
I have one more point about March of None. A few people that I know that watched it, season one was like really funny and kind of lighthearted sort of towards the end. Season two just became this like tragic love story of Aziz
it's more of a romance, not just a comedy. Which is what I like as
well. And it just, it just kind of switched it up a little bit, season two. And because like my mum, she said, season two is trash. And I was like, why? She's like, because it wasn't funny. And I was like, no, but the love stuff is really good.
I just want to say the main story, is tragic in a way, because Dev has this romantic interest with the other girl, Francesca. But the point is, it still has its comedy points.
Yeah, I think it's just, as a whole, the thing that I think that a lot of people do like about the show, and I'm like, obviously it's nowhere near as popular as Stranger Things, but this isn't necessarily a popularity contest in that sense. But let's get into the voter thing. This is the tricky one for me. It sounds like the room's kind of leaning towards one way, but we'll get into the vote. We'll kick it off with Charlie. Who are you going to vote for?
Master of
One for Masters of None. Simon,
without a doubt, Master of None.
2-0. Ben.
I'm not ready. Oh, fuck.
Why did you really sound like a printer?
It's 2-0 to Master of None, so...
I've been doing, like, a thing.
Pros and cons list. Wait, go on. Yeah. No, wait, tell us, read out your pros and cons list, or whatever it is you had written down before we carry on. So currently we're at 2-0.
It was just, like... It was just the pluses that they had. So, like... Stranger Things... So, Masters of None only had 2 seasons... and I felt like it probably had a bit more in it.
I think it's on an indefinite hiatus, by the way. I don't think it's like finished.
I think it's really nice in the fact that it's hyper-realistic, so it feels natural. It's got better drama than Stranger Things, and it's better exploring sexuality than Stranger Things. I will say, though...
Jesus, man, they're kids.
not needed at that point. It's ridiculous.
Stranger Things is more nostalgic. It's better at handling different like genres and aspects in that kind of regard. And it's a really good ensemble for kids
when it comes to that. Without a shadow of doubt, Stranger Things is a more entertaining show to watch. In terms of pure entertainment, it's more entertaining, I think.
Which has a better theme song?
Stranger
Master
Things.
Master of None.
It has one, does it?
Yeah,
no, it's
just got like funky beats, hasn't it?
Anyway, we got sidetracked there. Ben, it's your vote. Who are you going for?
Stranger Things.
Stranger Things for Ben. That makes it 2-1. Aaron, who are you going for?
Master of None.
Making it 3-1. I am going to go last because I can't make my mind up. Dan, what are you going for?
Can I just quickly say as well, Charlie went on this whole podcast about how he prefers original ideas and ended up voting for the show that is literally just about someone's life. I want to vote for Moss.
Wait, hold on, no, but that's a ridiculous thing. Because Master of None is like very original.
Okay, nah, Dan, you've only watched one episode.
It's about someone's life.
Stranger Things is based on Dungeons and Dragons.
Dan, you've only watched one episode.
Yeah, that's more original. I think Dan has made my mind up for me.
Nah, that's not. What are you voting for? You can't say that it's not original. Work,
Dan, man. What are you voting for?
Yeah, but Stranger Things isn't. It doesn't matter.
Oldest Stranger Things for Dan. And, well, I was actually thinking of sending it to a decider because I felt like it deserved a fair crack.
It should be a decider.
But oh, Dan's been a bit of a whiny little bitch, and therefore I'm voting for Masters of None. And Masters of None wins it 4-2. We have our winner, everybody.
Don't make it win like that.
Round of applause for Master of None.
Holy shit.
Master of None, more like master of this episode.
More like jack of all trades.
Now, I hope you all understand what bullying me gets.
I think you should all give me a clap for having my first win out of every both seasons. So please clap.
Round of applause for Aaron, everybody.
I'm not clapping for that. It won on such a sour note. I'm not clapping for that.
Well, yeah, Dan's just gone.
Dan's literally left the call. Is probably the most triggered we've seen Dan in a long time. But there you go. He brought it on himself. He dug his own grave. You know, in fact, he was digging someone else's grave and then fell into it. So that's not my fault. That's all on him. Just want to say, Dan, if you listen to this, sorry. But there we have it. That concludes today's episode of the World Cup of Podcast. Everyone, if you haven't seen Masters of None, go and watch it, because according to everyone apart from Dan, it is the better show. We'll be back again at the same time next week with a brand new episode. In the meantime, if you feel like you need more World Cup of in your life, then give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram at World Cup of Pod. And don't forget to also subscribe to our feed wherever you get your podcasts. And go ahead and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, because it actually does a lot of good for the podcast. So go on, if you've got 5 seconds to spare, go over and leave a quick review for us on Apple Podcasts. Also, remember, you can get your emails in that can get read out on the show if you send them into worldcupofpod@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you then. I look forward to seeing you on the next episode. Thanks, everyone, for joining me today, and we'll see you on the next one. Bye-bye.